worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Park. We invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day will overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Verses 1 through 28, all of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thank you, Father, once again for the privilege we have of being able to come to you in prayer any time of the day or night, knowing that you always, always, always have a listening ear for the prayers of your children. Thank you for the blessed privilege and honor of being able to open your word and hear words of wisdom, power, and grace in our lives. Father, more and more with every passing day, help us to fall more in love with you and more in love with your word, and empower us with every passing day to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word as well. We thank you and we praise you. Thank you once again, Father, for your sovereignty over our nation and our world. Flood our nation with your spirit of mercy and grace. Pour out mightily upon your church the spirit of revival in the name of Jesus. Stir us more and more to be the church that is passionately running after you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength that you've called us to be, more and more with every passing day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we're humbled that you would say to us to pray without ceasing, that you would want to talk with us, commune with us throughout the day. And we thank you for that, Father. We pray that you will help us to be better listeners at what you say. Listen, as your word is shared today, even on the program, that we will hear from you today and that we will respond in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We continue to remind you about the American Family Association's online bookstore. The AFA bookstore online has a variety of products designed to help transform American culture and help the church in its calling to fulfill God's great commission. I want to remind you once again, the AFA Easter buttons are now available for you to wear and to share with others. And they feature the message, "He Lives." You can order the buttons today at afastore.net. Again, that's at afastore.net. And while you're there, check out some of the many other resources that are available for you at the AFA online store. Again, that's afastore.net. And I want to share with you briefly before we move into the Bible reading for today. Again, two different books I've had the privilege of recently writing and having published. And, you know, something I would mention is that both books, though they deal with two critical topics in the kingdom of God, one deals with the pro-life cause and the other one deals with the critical important work of prayer and discipleship. But they're very much related, and both of them deal with discipleship. You know, discipleship is the process of us coming to know Christ better and to follow him passionately. And both of these are areas that are critical in the heart of God for the church to be engaged in. You know, the first book is entitled A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. And you can obtain this book at the AFA store. Go to afastore.net to get it. I want to encourage you to consider getting the book, reading it all the way through, and praying about asking God very seriously, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I believe that every single listener will receive an assignment from the Spirit of God, because this issue is too big for us as believers to feel like we're to be on the sidelines with this issue. Many believers who say they love the Lord really aren't doing much of anything to end the tragedy of abortion. And this issue is huge in the heart of our Heavenly Father. So for any of us believers to be standing on the sidelines thinking, well, God doesn't really have anything for me to do with regards to this issue, I believe you're mistaken. But it's for you to listen to the Lord for yourself. So again, the book does an effective job of helping you to see the issue from a Bible perspective and shares many different issues that are related to or a part of the pro-life cause and how we as believers are to see it biblically and react to it biblically as well. So again, the book, A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. I would encourage you both to get the book and read it, but also get it for a friend. I believe we all know people who, again, love the Lord, but don't really particularly feel like it's for them to get involved with the pro-life cause. Every believer should go to God in prayer and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Because I believe, again, he does have work for us all to do as it relates to this issue. And the second book, again, is a very, from my perspective, a very serious discipleship tool. It's a novel entitled The Intercession Chronicles, and I enjoyed having the privilege of writing it. It is a novel. But the fact is, again, I see it as a serious discipleship tool. It's a tool whereby my hope and my desire is that believers will recognize that because of the storyline in it, it's a tool that actually could help an unsaved person who doesn't particularly want to know Jesus or the church, but just simply likes reading an engaging story. I believe if believers would take it and share it with people that you know that aren't saved, that they will come to know Christ. But also, there are lots of believers who struggle in their prayer life or struggle in their life as a disciple. Well, again, the book, The Intercession Chronicles, is a tool to help encourage you in your walk with the Lord as well. So, again, if you'd be interested in getting that book as well, again, The Intercession Chronicles, you can go to liferichpublishing.com. Again, that's liferichpublishing.com, or Barnes & Noble is where you can get it. And soon we'll have it at the AFA store as well, but don't have it there quite yet. But again, liferichpublishing.com and ask for, or Barnes & Noble and ask for The Intercession Chronicles, and you'll be able to get it. Hope that you'll get it, read it, and I believe it'll bless and encourage you greatly in your walk with the Lord. Today we continue now reading in the Word of God as we pick up specifically in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23, beginning at verse 14. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding with us in strongholds in the woods, in the hill of Hakalah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. And Saul said, Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure, and see the place where his hideout is, and who has seen him there, for I am told he is very crafty. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah. So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. Therefore he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, Hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Therefore Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi. 1 Samuel chapter 24. Now it happened, when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, This is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went his way. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, My Lord the King. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, Why do you listen to the words of men who say, Indeed, David seeks your harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see. Yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. Verses 1 through 10, 1 Samuel. Chapter 25. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we continue reading through the Word of God. We'll be back.
Peace.
The music of Amanda Lindsay Cook with Still. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue reading through the Word of God as we pick up now in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 24, beginning at verse 8. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, "My Lord the King." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' Moreover, my father, see. Yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea? Therefore, let the Lord be judge and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case, and deliver me out of your hand." So it was, when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me, for when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house." So David swore to Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Then Samuel died, and the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding, and beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, 'Peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have.' Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David." So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meal that I have killed for my shearers and give it to them when I do not know where they are from?" So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, "Every man gird on his sword." So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both by night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me, see, I'm coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was, as she rode on the donkey, that she went down under cover of the hill, and there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so, and more also, to the enemies of David, if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light." Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, "On me, my lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears, and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my lord be as Nabal. And now, this present, which your maidservant has brought to my lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my lord an enduring house, because my lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life. But the Lord of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living. With the Lord your God in the lives of your enemies, he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed, and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal." So David received from her hand what she had brought him, and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person." Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, so he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. Then it happened, after about 10 days, that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head." And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, "David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife." Then she arose, bowed her face to the earth, and said, "Here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." So Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey, attended by 5 of her maidens, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Abinoam of Jezreel, and so both of them were his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was from Galim. 1 Samuel chapter 26. Now the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding in the hill of Hakalah, opposite Jeshimon?" Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul encamped in the hill of Hakalah, which is opposite Jeshimon, by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. Verses 1 through 4, 1 Samuel chapter 26. Father, we thank you once again for your word, and thank you for the power and the grace that rests upon your word. Father, with every passing day, I pray that you'd move upon the heart of every single listener to grow in their understanding of the great value, the great power, the great grace of simply reading and meditating on your word each and every day. Help us to understand, Lord, that in the busyness of life, it's easy to get busy, but help us to make it one of the high priorities of our day every day to open your word and spend time with you one-on-one as you speak words of grace, words of salvation, words of healing, words of blessing, words of empowerment, words of strength into our mind, heart, and our life. And help us, Lord, not only to be faithful students who read and study your word daily, and I pray that you'd move upon many listeners to set the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in their Bible every day. But Lord, move mightily upon the heart of parents in particular, and have them to have their children read 3 chapters out loud to them as well. Help them to grow to understand that nothing will bless our children more than your powerful, grace-filled, anointing-filled word. And help us to know, Lord, that there's nothing that our children really do need more than your powerful word. Father, thank you, Lord, for every household listening. Anoint each home with a fresh anointing that would cause every member of that household to have a growing hunger for your word. And I pray that more and more you will open our eyes to see the great need for us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the chance to know you, to serve you, to walk with you daily in your word. And anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer, praise, worship, and thanksgiving. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Let me remind you once again of our email, jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you're wanting to get some of the prayer resources we provide, we're glad to send them to you. Remember, the goal is that these will be tools that will help you and your family walk with the Lord, but also another goal is that you forward them, share them with others so that you and I can be partners in the work of discipling others as well. Hope you do it. Again, jparker@afa.net. We've been continuing reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back. Dunson Oyekan, amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue reading now in the New Testament, the book of Romans, Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life through the dead? But life from the dead. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them become a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief, they were broken off and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off, and they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Romans chapter 14. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe it, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fail or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Verses 1 through 13, Romans chapter 14. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've continued reading through the Word of God. as we usually do at the end of our time, I want to invite, if there's someone listening who's never made this extremely important decision for all of life, the decision to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great day to make that step of committing your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to do that, we invite you to simply pray this prayer with us, or if you're one who senses a need or wishes to recommit your heart to the Lord, we invite you to pray this prayer with us at this time, if you would. Simply pray the prayer along with us at this time. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very, very much that you came into this world, you lived, and you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned. I've sinned and done wrong in many ways, Lord. And Lord, by faith, I repent. I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. And today, in a brand new way, I open my heart and my whole life to you. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. In the Word of God, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. If you prayed and gave your life to Christ today, we really, really would like to hear from you. Please email us and let us know. We'd like to share with you some resources, some prayer tools, and some items that can help you really begin to grow up and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Or if you're a listener who prayed the prayer or just simply want some of the prayer and discipleship resources, we're grateful for the opportunity to share them with you. We hope that you'll use them for you and your family and in turn forward and share them with others so that we all can partner together to do the work of making disciples. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.